trade inside out pretty well, I think. It's what you did want.
Is that live now?
That is all right now, yes. Can I leave you to it?
Yes, but we'll stop here for the moment, or shall we carry on? And
yes, you could do. All right,
great. Yes. Carry on. Right.
Yes, and the reserve.
Anything.
Right. The tools, I've got quite a few tools there in my shed, you know, in the carpentry line especially.
Mm-hmm.
And although in every branch of the building trade, really. But I went to school until I was 15 at Guildford. I used to cycle to Guildford daily. And then when I started, my father, I went in business with my father and my brother, you see. My father started the business in 1895 or 1896. Then my brother went with him, then I went with him, and we've carried on until, well, I gave up in 1959.
Yes, yes.
That's when I gave up business. But it's a little bit varied, because with really, in my opinion, the local village carpenter then was a jack of all trades, as you would probably know. We had all sorts of jobs, from putting a square of glass in to thawing pipes, or generally helping out. No trade unions in those days, and didn't worry who bored a hole and who didn't, same as they do now. Now, yes, it's so I don't know which I've got a few notes on the, I put a few notes then. Rough notes, anyway, that I
don't. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I've got, what is it really you want? Just a general outline of the carpentry, or?
Well, it's rather for you to say.
Well, I really don't mind, Dr. Burton.
Carry on with your list and see how we go.
Yes, because I've got a list of quite a lot of the tools we used.
Yes.
In because we've got planes and shavers and chisels and gauges and saws. Because 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, there's 7 planes we used to use, hand planes.
Did you?
Wooden,
yes,
planes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And saws, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 6 or 7 saws, and spoke shaves and augers and etc., but they're not used nowadays, naturally, not like they were. And we used to start work at, in the summer, 6 to 8 o'clock, and then have half an hour for breakfast, and then go on to 1 o'clock, an hour for dinner, and finish at 2, at half past 5, which, and work till 1 o'clock on Saturdays. 56.5 hours a week we used to work.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's all different, of course.
How is it different?
Well, they don't work nothing like those hours at all, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much bought material today, which we used to make, same as timber. Well, the widest timber we used to get early on was 11 inch wide, was your widest. Nowadays, with all this prefabricated material, you can get it up to any width. I mean, there's no lack of what you can get. But it was all used to have to be planed up and glued and jointed to make a wider board altogether. Made a lot of work.
Yes, yes.
We used to reckon that a good day's work for a carpenter was an ordinary bit of 9x2 deal to make a panel door. And you had the panel separately. You used to rip it down by hand into four stiles like that. That's called a style. You had a 9-inch middle rail in one piece, 9-inch bottom rail in the middle piece, and the top rail was the same as your style.
Yes.
That was four and a half ripped down. Mm-hmm. Then you have to plane it up by hand from rough timber, do the mortise and intensity, and do all the ploughing out of the rebate to put a panel in, put and joint your panels up, although they're very seldom because you used to have a middle mullion, as we called it there in the centre. Therefore you could do it in two panels, 2 11-inch did it, because they were only about 2'4" or 2'6" overall. And, well, it was a day's work to do that. Hard day's work for a carpenter to turn out a panel door, cleaned and ready for hanging in 10.5 hours.
Doors today are all machine made, are they?
Yes, practically all machine made, yes. And it's, of course, plywood for panels and all this lining and one thing and another is. But in the olden days, it was far more heavy work, really, and your oak doors and all such as that were, half the oak doors used to be chestnut, which is one of the fine, nicest timbers to use, I expect, as you probably know.
That's sweet chestnut.
Sweet chestnut.
Yes.
Very smooth and very lovely timber to work.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Was sycamore used much?
Not a lot. No, but it was good for draining boards and anything in that way.
Yes.
It wouldn't move and stand wetting and drying, stand the two extremes. Very well, sycamore wood.
Yes, yes.
But it's a nice wood to work, sycamore.
It's a white wood, isn't it?
Yes.
Lovely white wood. Yes.
And ash is another wood used quite a bit in wheelwright work more than carpentering. Mm-hmm. More than building, eh? But there's so many different imported woods now that a lot of the older timber isn't used as it should be, I don't consider. Not. The pines are not used as they should be. And as regards cement, well, the first thing that came in was blue lias lime. You remember, you've heard of, remember that, I expect.
The
blue lias lime was really the forerunner of cement.
No.
It was really chalk.
Yes.
Burnt.
Yes.
And slaked.
Yes.
And that was used and used to get as hard as anything. It was a great dirty colour. Wasn't near exactly the colour of cement. Was the forerunner of cement. Mm-hmm. It was used for concrete and all that sort of thing. But in those days, of course, we used to have to knock it all up by hand, mix it twice dry and once wet. I mean once wet, once dry and twice wet. That was the proper way we used to do concrete and anything in that line. Used to be darn hard work with a shovel and I've done plenty of it. But the building today, of course, is this modern building, you get principal roofs all come together, don't you? Ready to just swing them straight up?
Yes, yes, yes.
In the other days, you had to cut up a roof from ordinary 4x2, but now they don't even use that. It's 4x1.5, I think, or inch, or not much more than an inch, some of it on it. Very frail stuff. And another thing that's advanced tremendous is plasters. But we used to have just ordinary lime sand. And there used to be three coat work for plastering. You had a, what we called a rendering coat first to level it up or square it up. And then a floating coat to get ready for the finish. And the setting coat, as I called it, was just a very skim coat of nearly neat lime. But it used to take several days, a fortnight, before it was hard enough to do anything with, because it was a soft texture.
Yes, yes.
Then these new plasters came in from, well, it was Keene cement was one came in, but mostly they're from down the Thames area, somewhere down that way, isn't it, this gypsum?
I don't know.
Yes, gypsum is the newest one they get in a lot, isn't it? It's very hard and drummy. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a lot of the houses, I think, not very good acoustics for anything. They're very drummy, and it's only the plaster, because when you had the ordinary lime and sand, it was far more pliable, but you get go to fix through this new plaster, it'll usually just flake off on the surface, a bit split out.
Yes.
But the old never used to, you could, you know, practically fix it straight in. Another thing that's improved are nails now to what we used to have, because they were nearly all handmade when I first. Because that's what always made so many blacksmiths in Albury. There used to be 12 or 13 blacksmiths in Albury.
Really?
Oh yes. Well, they made all the farm work, all the farm iron work. And door hinges and all that sort of thing were handmade, you see. It was really remarkable. Because there were the blacksmiths down where Mrs. Barker's place is now, employed several. Somebody named a Poultert had that. I've got some handmade nails down in the shed now, what were, you know, left over from what we had with us. And there was more ironwork made there. Now, of course, there's quite a lot made now, but it's machine made. But I mean, there used to be some beautiful ironwork done, all church work, especially a tremendous amount of ironwork made by blacksmiths.
Locks.
Well, they did make them, but there weren't many locks first off, you know. More or less they went with a bolt.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there were plenty of the old-fashioned bolt, but the main first lock ever I saw was the old-fashioned box lock, like on the old parish church.
Oh, yes.
You had to have a wooden case for it, and it was very... not much in it, but it was all handmade. It was more or less a key to turn it over the catch, as the saying is.
Yes.
And the old-fashioned steel spring was made. That was handmade for them.
Now, how did a locksmith work in with this? Did the blacksmith make the lock?
Yes, they actually made the lock.
And what did the locksmith do then? Make the key? Or?
Yeah, or you used to make the spring was spring. The main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the key also to turn the levers.
Yes.
But there was a specialised job, more or less. It wasn't very accurately, not machine made, but a very good handmade job with the old fashioned lock.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Now, you do have a certain amount of carving in wood.
Yes, my father carved this.
Did he?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, sitting here, I had looked at that and thought, oh, well, of course, that's machine made.
No. He used to take carving classes, my father did. And all the carving class made a section each of that, and he fitted all that together. But he used to do a lot of carving. He did those cupboards. I've got two of them upstairs, cupboards like that. He used to put them in a chest of ammonia to tone them down. That's how they used, never used to brush it around. He would put in a chest with ammonia, sorted of ammonia, and that was fumed out. That's how they used to fume out in those days. Used to penetrate right into the wood.
Now, what is the point of that?
To, well, more or less they got stained now, you see, haven't they? But it was to impregnate it, and you'd never get any worm or anything in anything like that.
Oh, the ammonia was purely to preserve.
Yes, and also it got a, you know, the longer it kept, it was darker you could get it. But that was the reason why it was used a lot, ammonia. Because in the olden days, I've heard them say, a lot of antique furniture used to be put in the stables and horse manure chucked over it. And the ammonia darkened it in that way.
Well, this was the fake stuff.
Yes.
And that is oak, is it?
Yes, that's all oak.
But then for the wood carving, he has to have a special set of tools.
Yes, all different chisels.
Yes.
Spoons, all sorts of things.
Yes.
But there used to be a lot of it done in around here, really. Pease Lake was where my father used to take the classes. Up at Houndash, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Edelman, a German people, she was the one who was a wonderful carver, and she taught my father, and then he used to take the classes and then make all the stuff up for the class. I put it up together for them.
Do you make a distinction between a carpenter and a joiner?
Oh, yes. Really, a carpenter is the one who really does the structural work on a roof or floor or the floors and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And a joiner makes any of the fittings.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Although they do combine it, carpenter and joiner together nowadays, but it used to be distinctly a carpenter was one who, some would do fencing or all sorts of anything in the woodwork, but nothing elaborate.
Now, I'm not very clear about the ammonia. That would have been put in a chest.
Yes, in a biggish chest.
Yes.
Small, before it was put together, before it was fixed together.
Yes, quite. Yes. And how was the ammonia put in?
Into saucers, and it was fumed, really. Fumed.
Oh, I see.
Not put actually on the wood.
Yes.
It's amazing how ammonia will penetrate. You know, the fumes of the stuff itself.
And that makes it worm-proof?
Yes, make it worm-proof.
And yet worm does get in due course.
In due course, yes. You know, so it isn't worm-proof, is it?
Yes.
But of course, quite a lot of, some of the woodworm really, you'll never find woodworm go for the heart of the bit of wood. It's only the sap that it goes into. Yes. Always the sap or the weak part of the outside of the wood that it attacks. That's why a lot of this plywood, it's very susceptible to woodworm.
Yes.
Especially some of the old, cheaper stuff from the pine stuff. They just riddle it.
But that doesn't go for death watch, does it?
No. No, that's a proper killer, I think death watch is. And really, it'll not go through the surface. It works from inside and eats right through. It's amazing. We used to get a lot of air timber from Reading. Come up by rail at the Cumshill station and pick it up in a horse and van and bring it in and use it.
Because your planks were all cut up in a saw pit, weren't they?
Yes, yes. There used to be one there in the park, you see.
Yes, I imagine there was, yes.
Yes, there was one there. And a lot of the tin used in now, well, I haven't got one. I used to have one in Ags, but it's not, I haven't used one for years. You know, I used to get the worst off and then finish off with an ordinary jack plane. That was the main thing with wheel writing as well.
Yes.
It was an ag, it was used a tremendous amount.
Yes.
We used to make a tremendous amount of ladders, pole ladders, ordinary long ladders, some 60, 70 rims.
You used to make a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Used to make all our own ladders, you see.
Yes, for use. Yes.
That used to be usually a good Scotch pole.
Yes, yes.
And you'd line it, put a stretch of line, not like I'm trying to think of the name of it. Ordinary string in, really, white, and you could do it with black, bit of burnt wood and snap it. That's how you used to get a straight line right there.
Oh, yes.
On the pole.
Yes.
To start. Then you saw it down by hand.
Yes.
And set out your rungs, ladder rungs, 9 inches apart, center to center. And you'd bore your holes. You'd bore half of them one way, from one side, then go around the other and bore the other, so in case you didn't get quite upright and they counterbalanced each other, and that helped strengthen them. In boring your hole through a round, you bore, say, 9 inches apart. You go bore from one way that way, you go around the other side and bore your next one that way. Because if you did get a little edge of upright, the one counterbalanced the other. And they were all oak rungs, made of cleft oak. Just ordinary split cleft they were, about inch and a quarter, inch and three quarters square. Then you taper them off, all done by hand with a plane, just dubbed off. And you had a reamer at the finish, a reamer of the holes.
Yes.
And you used to set them all out, and I've done any amount of them. And pinpoint them with a bradawl as far as they were going in the pole.
Yes, yes.
And then just split them at the end and drive a wedge in.
Yes, yes, yes.
To help them. Never put a nail in the ladder.
Yes, yes.
Although there was plenty put in, I know.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes. But we used to, of course, we used to make quite a lot of coffins, handmade. But now I think they're all bought now. I've helped make a good many coffins. But you used to get a good variety of work during your lifetime, you know, different. And you always, I don't think many of them do now, but used to be, look forward to going to work the next day, used to enjoy your job and get thoroughly interested in it, but you look forward to going to work the next day, which I don't think is very common today.
Is there any chance that you can lend me some of your tools to show?
Yes, certainly. Yes, oh, certainly. We'll go down the shed and look at them in a minute. I'll get them. I could run them down at your place. Then. And material, of course, is more or less, there's nothing out of the way to what they use today, not in the, as regard materials, which is still used now in the timber line and the metal. Of course, the metal works tremendously improved, locks and all that sort of thing, naturally.
Yes.
But mind it, you didn't used to build a house in so many weeks. It used to be a pretty good job to build a house. Time was no object really, not in the building trade when in my day, not so much. Not stint, you know. Error or two here didn't make any difference, but nowadays it's all money, so isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And the bricks we used to have locally, really nearly all your material when you were building was what was local.
Yeah.
Because the bricks were in this area, there was a tremendous amount of bricks came out of Sherburn Brickyard. Wonderful bricks they were too. And your sand you had locally, stone, you only had off the Winterfold or somewhere in that way. That's a funny stone up there, though. It gets harder with the longer it's left above ground.
Does it?
Yes. First off, it's very soft. That's the time you want to work, do stone work, getting coined, as we call them, or cornerstones, or that chisel them while it's green, as we call it.
Yes.
And after a while, it hardens with the weather exposure.
What stone is that? What does it look like?
It's
that's some of it
there, which has got moss on it, on that little wall of rock.
Oh.
Is it a limestone? No, it's not lime. It isn't a limestone, it's the same as Pitch Hill and Leith Hill.
Oh, that's chert, isn't it?
Chert, yes. That's right. Yeah. It's the same vein runs right through those hills.
Yes.
And it was when it was green, you could dress it at these edges of ice, you know. With a bolster and metal chisel, you could place it.
Is it the same with flint?
No. Flint napping, they called that, didn't they?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I just wondered whether your flint was also breathed when it was napped.
No, I don't think so, because the flint is really all the same all the way through.
Yes, yes.
And they weren't all that big, not to be so big as a stone.
Yeah.
But the stone we used to get off in layers.
Yes.
The stone.
Yes, yes.
And another thing used to be done around here was welding it quite a bit, you see. Nearly everywhere had welds.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've got one day at your place, haven't you?
In fact, I've got two.
You've got two?
One filled in.
Did you, yes? But we all had them, you know, nearly every... Well, there was one, my son's got one next door, he filled that in. Used to supply this row of cottages.
Yes, yes, yes.
Down below, there's one down below now. I could show you where it is, only got a stone slab over it, where I used to be.
Yes.
That used to supply those cottages down below them.
Now, how did they get the water up?
Windler, with an ordinary winch.
I see.
Chain,
yes.
3-gallon bucket.